Yeah, I don't want, but I'm thankful for them. That's the only reason we don't do it, because of you. Okay, so Kufyu Dalid, we're going to be using the koiches of Avraham Avinu in order to deal with the nishenus of Imuna in this generation. This pre-messianic tekufa, we've proved, I think, mit kolat stadim, that the koyach we need is the koyach of Avraham Avinu, b'cha choismim, the chasim, the final signing off will be with Avraham Avinu's koyches. Let's try and understand what it is and how we utilize that. Kashenis boinim b'nisenis ashenim v'eminis nase amisel b'tekufas ashenis. If we'll think a little bit about the nisenis, the difficulties that Klal Yisrael went through and were tested with, the different tekufas, the different periods. Nevachach ki b'chamishim hashanim achreinois, let's call it 70 years achreinois, but this was written about 20 years ago, so let's include the years since it was published. Not much has changed, except it got worse. Hachalat kufa chadosha, v'niseinu shel tekufa zu holchem mit'atzmim miyoyim liyoyim. We're in a new phase, and it's getting stronger and stronger every day. No. Baruch. The shit won't be so good. So we need to do that. I'll have a coffee after. I'm in good shape. I'm good. Good. I wasn't hinting that I wanted the coffee. No, I wasn't thinking that I wanted a coffee. I was just telling you that she's not going to be so good today because I never got a coffee and you shouldn't feel bad. Okay. Come closer so that I can. Okay. We're in a new phase and it's getting worse and worse every day. And the Kuda Merkazit shall fear Nita in Lahagdir is Matsaveinu. Like we said right in the beginning, the first page, if you want to find the fulcrum, the central nakuda that defines our situation, he oivdan asimcha hayehudit hativit v'uvdan hachamimut hayehudit hativit. We've lost the natural inner simcha of being Jewish, and we've lost the warmth, the natural warmth and love of Yiddishkeit. Ad lifnei shanim shnayim shloisha doiros kol yehudi v'lo pashut b'yoseh. Until two or three generations back, I always used the First World War as a cutoff, but somewhere around there, it's not exact. It's not exact. Any yid, even the most simple pashut Jew, hikir es malosi kudi v'yedeshu b'nei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben la'am ha'netzach. He recognized his elevated status as a Jew. He knew he was a ben of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he was shaykh to an eternal nation. Ben la'am hama'idin b'midaysov. And he knew that he was part of a nation whose midas were different, were better. He knew that he had those qualities that made him different. Simcha tzmidi saise mamolis is liboy tomi dalkach. And he was the simcha and proud and happy because of these facts. The marad goydel tzaroisov, yusura vakashim sha'ova b'meichayov. Not that they had an easy life. These people had difficult yusurim, terrible difficulties. Nevertheless, who hear ish tomid ki adif v'toiv lokach. Hein b'yaduto, hein b'yusurov. He knew that he was better off with his Surim and his Yiddishkeit. Mashele is Mugush on Bahemi or Kshachne Agoy. Hasailva Vasaiva. He knew it was better to be a Yid with all the Yisurim than to be a Goy with all his Nefesh Bahemi's desire, Sail Vasaiva. Hasimchen Shisiklulis Babirkis Shaloa Sani Goy. He kifes kol Yeshusoy, the es kol. Hazmanim v'amatzovim, the bracha that we say every morning, Shelo asani goy, which today is not so politically correct. We have to apologize for saying it almost today, because we don't understand what we say. But for him, that was the central theme that surrounded his entire being, all the situations he went through. Hainshel simcha vahainshel etzev. Tomo duchai belibo es remoimu soy b'yus yudi ben la'ama nifcha. He knew he was a member of the chosen people. And that's what kept him going. Atava chatanu mikol ha'omi was something that he lived with. That wasn't something he had to check out philosophically. Maybe who says, you can't say that, we're all equal. No, none of that nonsense. He knew who he was and what it meant to be a member of that eternal nation. Despite all the suffering and difficulties he went through, because he was a Jew living amongst the goyim, he was besimcha in his Jewishness. He lived with Hashem. He wasn't attracted by the goyish world. It did moshechi. There was nothing there to say, I would love what he's got. None of that. He lived with Hashem real. Poshut. What's with the face?
This is a recent thing, this being jealous of the goyim. We don't have this history so much.
Very little. You left the kufas. You left the kufas. We're talking generalizations now. You'll bring me during Golas Svad, there were some, but generally speaking, no. We'll see. We'll get it. We're trying to look like what it looked like before the First World War, let's say, up to, once again, this is not a history book. So I'm not going to hold myself to the dates and whatever, but clearly that's what it looked like. Anybody who met Jews even from pre-First World War knows this to be true. Anybody who met a Jew, most simple Jew, who lived pre-World War II and didn't go through the Holocaust, that creates other complications. But you met Yidden that got out before the Holocaust or whatever. You knew they were Jewish, even if they weren't. I knew Yidden that were mamash Jewish, more Jewish than most people walking around the streets today, even though they weren't keeping Shabbos anymore. But they were Jewish and they knew what it meant to be Jewish. Shalom Asani Goy was how they
did it for me.
To name it your problem. Thank you. So, yeah, they were Yidden. They were Yidden, partial Jews. Their Jewish neshama burnt inside of them. And they didn't have any shyness with Shiloh Asani Goy because it's poshut. Poshut. We're going to see. That's all we're going to discuss. Patience. Some of us have been learning the Sefer for 20 years and we haven't got answers to your question. You got the first time you read one answer. That's not fair. Come on. Where's Ellie? Okay. Slowly. We'll see what changed. And we'll see what has to change in order to get back to where we need to be. You'll notice, just to put on pause here, you'll notice that the Nishoinus up to the Second World War, let's say, were all the Nishoinus of religion. Convert and you're fine. If you were in Spain and you didn't want to get inquisized or whatever they did to you, you just convert to become a good Christian. Not only would you survive, but you'd be given a very high position. You'd be given lots of money. You'd become a very choshev person in society. You notice that in the Second World War, no one gave you any choice. You could have converted to Christianity 100 years, 1,000 years ago. He came after everybody, even if your great-great-grandfather was Jewish, they came and they schlepped you out. It had nothing to do with your religion. It had to do with your nationality. You were Jewish, they killed you. You notice that change? They're very significant. We'll see. We'll deal with that as well. Where's the Nisoyin today? Kiss the cross or we'll kill you. Yeah, how many people will take the bullet? Very few. We threw away our Yiddish card without someone holding a gun against our head. 90% of Klal Yisrael took a Yiddish card and threw it out the window, and no one came to them and said, give up your Yiddish card or we'll kill you. They just gave it up. So they don't even know why they gave it up. They don't even know what they gave up. It's an enormous change. Yidden in their droves went to death. With a shrine amount of Kainu not giving up the Yiddish card because the church demanded it. Children gave up their lives rather than kiss the cross. This is an example. There were many Nisoyans before that. But essentially, that was the Nisoyan. You convert, you're fine. The Greeks had no problem. You didn't have to convert. Stay Jewish. Just a couple of things. We need you to change. What's going on here? There's something to change. You have to recognize it. So just remember that as we go weiter, you'll see it's very significant. While we're discussing what's changed. But that was what they had. That this burning, fired up Amna. Hassan. Huh? Everything's changed. That's what. That's all. We'll see. Yeah, but in the Second World War, they had enormous power.
Yeah.
Since the war, they also lost their power. That's their problem. You see, I can't help them. I have to solve my own problems first. They also have their problems. Yeah, they have serious problems today. Okay. Amnon. Granted, our grandmothers didn't necessarily know all the things that we know today. That burning, lively heart, full of imuna. When was the last time you were in shul and an old lady walked in, opened up the Aron HaKodesh and started crying in front of the Aron HaKodesh? Ever seen that? Anybody ever seen that? That's Nifla. You spend most of your day in a base midrash. Yeah? And you've never seen some bobber or safta walking and open their windows and start screaming. There should be a common event in Klal Yisrael. You read about it all the time. No? Well, there was a problem, whatever. She came, she opened her mouth, she thought, I didn't see that today. Mole Muna Chai V'Poya. Haregesh Yehudi Loiva Yisson B'Koleis. Haregesh Yehudi Ativi Lokaba B'Shnei Sagolus Namarot Seis HaSevu V'Yisurim. That feeling, I'm Jewish, that natural sense of I'm something other, something transcendent. In the most simple terms, all the years of Golus never extinguished them. In order to acquire simcha tomid, unconditional simcha, which is how we started off trying to say that's what we need to get to, because we're in Golus because of why? Let's see, but three new people here. It's enough of a reason to put the question on the table. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed and why are we in Golus? Let's hear it. What they taught you in whatever school you went to.
We didn't have a love for Torah,
yeah.
Love for another person,
because of sinas chinam. Yeah, loshon hara, sinas chinam. Okay. So let me tell you what the Torah tells us. Let me tell you what the Chumash tells us. It's a pasuk mefureshes.
The rabbi is basically
that rabbi. The Torah tells you why the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and why we're going to go into Golus. I have to just find it. I can tell you off by heart, but I want to see it inside. Yo, where is it? No, why aren't you finding it? What do I keep you around for? No.
No.
Right, I'll take 30 more seconds. If I don't find it, we will. It's bold, I think, even.
The Rambam?
No. No, Chumash! Rambam? I don't have a Chumash in front of me. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, I don't really mind what Pasha it's in. I know it off by heart. I can tell it to you. I just wanted to see it inside. Okay. Tachas shelo avadata es Hashem b'simcha b'tuv levav mirov koil. I'll translate. You're going to go into Golus. You're going to get destroyed. Thank you very much. Lamed hay. Hakadosh Baruch Hu madir lani b'mefurash b'teresa kedosha. Ma hi hasibah l'churban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us explicitly, not with Ramazim and secrets and Chazals, but Furush Apostle. You served Hashem. You served Hashem, but you lacked simcha. So we went on a journey a few months ago to try and discover if it's possible to be the simcha unconditionally. Can I always be the simcha no matter what's going on around me? And we discovered, yes, the previous generations had that. And we don't, and we're trying to find out how to get it back. Avraham Avinu was the beginning of that process. He lived in a world that was the antithesis of everything he believed in, and he was able to live unconditionally with Hashem, despite what was going on around him. So it must be something a person can do. So let's see how we do that. That's what we're trying to find out. Nisayin imuna b'dor acharon. How do we deal with our unique nisayin, which no other generations have had to deal with? We're going to have to reinvent the wheel somehow. But it's not reinventing it. We're going to have to come up with something that's not new, but that hasn't been used for a while. We're going to have to dust it off, take Avraham Avinu out of the closet, dust him off, and see what we can do about getting back in touch with reality. Let's see. הרגש היהודי לא יבואסון בקולייס, הרגש יהודי הטיבי לקובה בשני סגולס למרות סייס הסבל והיסורי. וכל אויס אייס, כדי לשחוש שמחה בתבלב לו בכל מצב ובכל תנאי, in order to acquire unconditional simcha, לא אני צריכים להעמיק או לסבוין אינו כך, you don't need deep philosophical thought or deep meditations, היו אלו עניונים טבעים, מקשויל, משאיפס היהודית. It was something you just kind of had. It was related and wired into the system that's who I am. All the sipuk and simcha fulfillment that a person got was in relation to his Jewishness and his Judaism. Not necessarily learning Torah. There were illiterate people who had this. Nothing to do so much with learning Torah. We'll see learning Torah for sure. Well, that's not what it's about. It starts long before anything to do with Torah and mitzvahs. This happens long before Torah and mitzvahs. Surprise? Yeah? You said Shema this morning? You took upon yourself to love Hashem before Torah and mitzvahs. You notice? You said, V'haftes Hashem alokecha. Before you said, V'hayom Shemaya. The Gemara wants to know why you did that. You know that. Gemara has your kasha. First you have Torah and mitzvahs, and then you come to love Hashem. Torah says no. You have to love Hashem even without Torah and mitzvahs. You have to do Torah and mitzvahs. You'll get to Vayim Shemaya. But you have to first love Hashem before you do Torah and mitzvahs. And even if there's no Torah and mitzvahs, you still have to love Hashem. Because that's all we are. Our simcha and our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts before Torah and mitzvahs. Kabbalah Samachu Shemaim comes before Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, even if you're not feeling so much slich in your Torah and mitzvahs, you don't feel you're achieving in your Torah and mitzvahs, it doesn't interfere with the kesha that I have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what Shema is telling you. First Hashem, then Torah and mitzvahs. I taught you that in Kinek, where you're from, Montreal. Let me teach you that. They taught you that. No, but you have to love Hashem even if your Torah and mitzvahs is not what it's supposed to be. There was something partial. All your enjoyment, your fulfillment, your tainu came from Jewish matters. You had a deep, warm, loving relationship with Hashem. You walked around with a full, happy heart just from the mere fact that you were Jewish. That's the model for Malchus Shemayim. Long before Torah and Mitzvah. You don't need that. That's the start. No, don't throw the Chayim Son of Obis out the window. That's the Chalila.
No, so I have to get a balance. What came first? I love
this. This was wired into the system. You saw it around the people. You saw it where you went. They had this natural. You never met people like this, I can see. But if you've met people like this, you know it. They just had a natural. They were Jewish. They were Jewish. They knew that there was something different between him and the goy. He knew he was Jewish. And his simcha and his enjoyment came from just the fact that he was Jewish. They lived simple lives. Avada, the more educated ones, the more intelligent ones, learned Shara Bechina, natural akaras atoiv. They had natural akaras atoiv. We didn't have to sit down and work it. That came much later. That's why you needed Hasidus and Mus. Because without that, you wouldn't have been able to do it. Most Jews didn't need that. My Boba never learned Musa, I promise you. She didn't know what it was. But she was Jewish. Oh, was she Jewish? You see it today a little bit in the Svadi, the old Svadi grandmothers. You see it by them a little bit. They just think they're Jewish. You want to discuss philosophy with them? It's a shush and eat. But time for discussion. Can't talk with a mouthful. The Litvisha Bobas were the same. But they were Jewish. The Daven Leiv, Hitrachesh Mahafech Bedeiris Achreini, Chal Shinu Bo'elam. We're not going to be able to discuss all the changes and why and analyze them. We're not anthropologists. That's not what this is. This is not anthropology 101. This is Jewish Hashkofa, for apprentices, for beginners. That's what this is. So we're not going to be able to discuss this historically, go on to the anthropological, social, economic factors. But the world's changed. Hagoy hara, ha'achzori. Hagoy ha'makel elor rachem is ishtoi ve'elodov, ha'paritz ha'shikul. All the goyim that we've met along the way, the cruel, drunken Polish peasant, the goy who beat his wife and children, the landlord, the feudal landlord that was always drunk and tormented the Yidden, the Inquisitions and the Communisms and all the real shame, all the goyim we've had to deal with. He's changed. The world's changed. We've become cultured and he's become elegant and he's become well-mannered, cultured. He's become well-dressed, he even wears a tie sometimes. He could be your lawyer, your doctor, your financial advisor, your next door neighbor who lives a very similar lifestyle to you. You start looking over the fence and you start seeing, he's got a good laugh. Look at him. Yeah, oh, maybe. Ulai. Maybe he's got something else. You start thinking thoughts. And at the same time, the walls, the barriers that existed between us and the Jew, physical, psychological, spiritual barriers started crumbling. At hit moigago hagaivi udit venitma letzareini l'umusayim. Good old kosher Jewish pride started weakening and defragmenting and fraying at the edges. And we started looking at the goyim as something to be proud of and something to follow. Tabut ha'umas hafchu moidel l'chikoy. The culture of the goyim became a model for us to imitate. Shivosav shel ha'goyim ma'avaz l'tanoysav chodru l'soycheicha rechove yehudi. Goyish influence started to penetrate and enter into the Jewish street. And today into the Jewish home. And this is before the internet gripped hold of us. This was written and spoken about as the internet was starting. This was before smartphones. So you do your own homework here, do your own math about how much worse it is now than it was when this was written. It used to be Pashut. That a goy was an amadoim elachomo, to marry somebody who's not Jewish would be unthinkable. And today, you see, marrying a goy is not so unthinkable. In fact, it's more thinkable than marrying a Jew. Just look at the numbers. Assimilation in America Day is 70%. You work out what that's about. Pinei kimat tepet b'mtzoi tatikshoret. Hamidya v'asakim gilinu goyim musog acher. We have a new goy, the one that Yaakov Inu was more scared of. That's why he davened for that first. Hatzileinu miyad achi miyad Esav. The achi is the friendly, not friendly goy. Yaakov was more worried about him than Hitler, because he's not so easy to win, this guy that we're dealing with now. We're standing lost without any kaling to fight this war, because we've never fought it before. We've never fought this war before. So we have to find tools to find how to win this war. Me personally, I'm not changing the world. One second. Not me changing the world. Me being able to be besimcha b'tuvleivov in my Yiddishkeit and not having to look everywhere else for fulfillment. To be continued. Okay. Questions?